Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just you and me, by the way. I've got some things I want to say. First, I have to say that I was wrong. And you know how hard that is for me to admit that, right? I was wrong, ladies and gentlemen. When I made my predictions for 2009, as you know, I do this every year. In the first week of the year, the first weekend, I published the weekend, somewhere around the first of the year, I published either the first I published the previous year's predictions and how I did. I actually go back and keep score and post my record, my accuracy record. I've been doing that for about 7 or 8 years or so. And then the next week, I come back with my new predictions for the next year. And that's what I was wrong about. That's what I'm saying. I looked out over the landscape of the economy, and I took the best measure that I could of President Obama, at that time President-elect Obama. I was starting to see him behaving in a pragmatic way. I was starting to see him behave with a discretion is the better part of valor way. And I predicted that because of the difficulties the economy was having, is having, or was in those days, because of that, because of the realities on the ground, even though he had campaigned on some very, very populist kind of radical ideas, very liberal ideas, even though he campaigned on those things, I didn't think that he had had a change of heart. I didn't think he was any less committed to those things. I just thought that he would look at what I was seeing. He would see what I was seeing, because he's smarter than I am. And he would say, you know, I want to do these things. I think the country needs these things. I think the world needs what I want to do as a president gets to do. But then he would say to himself, but you know what? This isn't the year to push those things. This isn't the year, because those are all things that are going to have, they're going to come at a cost. They're either going to come at a direct cost in terms of a number of dollars to make it happen. Or they're going to come at a cost in terms of the way they're going to change the way people behave, the way they do business, the way they live. It's going to change, and therefore, it's going to have an unsettling cost. It's going to have the cost of change. To whatever degree that change has a cost indirectly, there's going to be that. And I thought he would say to himself and to his people, you know, this is not the year. 2009 is not the year to make that happen. We need to get the economy and our attitudes a little more of a sound footing before we do some of these things. And I really believed that until recently. But I was wrong. Now that we've heard from the president in his address to Congress, as I said earlier in the week, it wasn't a State of the Union. They didn't bill it as that. I'm still not sure if he's actually going to do one of those, but in his address to Congress, he wasn't pragmatic at all. There was no discretion is the better part of valor. All I heard was pushing forward with all those initiatives, even in the middle of the worst recession, perhaps, and I think it probably will be seen as one of the top two worst recessions since the Great Depression of the 30s. And in the middle of all that, he's delivered a budget that is unbelievably high. And in the middle of all that, he's proposing some new direction for the country that's going to cost an awful lot of money, and it's going to create a lot of upheaval, a lot of unsettling things. And that's what I want to talk about when we come back after this break. I want to talk about what some of those things are and why I think they won't be good for your small business and why I think they won't be good for my small business. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. You can do anything with the top of my blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. Little Van Halen bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. We built it for you. We had you in mind, you and your small business in mind when we built it, and when we make all of the things that are there available to you for free so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful without having to do anything but show up. Show up and click around and read and listen and check it out and get smarter. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget to check out my blog, which we update every weekday. And also, by the way, you can find me on Twitter if you want to follow me on Twitter, which many people will do that, and they forward it to their cell phones so they can see what the new stuff is. That's what we do every day. We update on Twitter, and that's Jim Blassingame, twitter.com/Jim Blassingame. Folks, I'm talking about the things that I was wrong about President Obama. He's going to raise taxes on the top 2% of Americans. Now, when you say it like that, folks, when you say the top 2% of Americans, that sounds like a little teeny tiny bit of bunch of folks, and you say, well, Donald Trump can afford that. You think about all the rich people. Bill Gates, he can afford that. Well, yeah, he can afford that, folks. But let me tell you who can't afford it. Let me tell you who's in that top 2% who can't afford a tax increase, and that's people like you and me. Let me boil down what that top 2% means. And he said it in his speech. President Obama said it in his speech. He said, "Above, if you make $250,000 or above, you won't pay any higher taxes. You'll actually get a tax cut." Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a small business owner, you're way ahead of me. If you're not, you may not understand this. Most small businesses are structured as either a subchapter S or an LLC, a limited liability company, or a partnership, or a sole proprietorship. One of those four. And every one of those four, none of those four are taxpaying entities. They're only structured as a business entity. And the income from that company, from that business activity, doesn't go to a tax on that company. It drops straight to the individual return of the owner of the business. And remember now, this 250 includes families. So I'm not talking about a business. The business doesn't have to deliver. Let's think about this is a very typical example of a small business. Let's say that the business makes $70,000 in profit in a year. Let's say the owner pays himself $100,000 in a year. For all the work that they do, that's not a lot of money for a small business owner. Let's say the owner's wife or husband makes $80,000 in their job. They have a job somewhere else. They make $80,000. Guess what? Those two incomes and that profit from that business just put those people in the top 2%. They're right up there in that same percentage with Bill Gates and with Donald Trump. How about that? Now, how do you feel about being taxed? How about taxing the America's wealthiest people? If anybody thinks that making $250,000 in adjusted gross income is in taxable income is wrong, because you're not rich if you make that. But there's one other thing to think about, folks. I've asked small business owners from here to halfway around the world, if you paid less tax every year, what would you do with that money? Not one of them said, I'd buy a new car. And I've asked this dozens and dozens of times in Europe, in America, and I've said, if what would you do? And not one of them said, I'd buy a new car. Not one of them said, I'd take another trip. Not one of them said, I'd do anything but one thing. Every one of them, 100%, said, I would put that money back in my business. See, this is what Mr. Obama, this is what President Obama doesn't understand about the marketplace. God bless him. I really wish him well. But I cannot support the concept of raising taxes at this time. It's wrong. And the way he's doing it, it's going to hurt the people who create the most jobs in America. Small business owners, just like you and me. It's going to hurt us. It's going to take our precious capital out of our business at a time when we all need more capital. And so this is not going to be good for the economy, folks. I've got to be honest with you. I can't sugarcoat this. This is not going to be good for the economy if he raises taxes, which he intends to do on the top 2%. But that's not really the point. The 2% is not really the number we need to be focusing on. The number we need to focus on is anybody above $250,000 a year in taxable income. That's the number you got to watch for. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, folks, if you're making $25,000 a year, I know that sounds like a lot of money. But you need to understand that an awful lot of people who have that kind of income are running businesses. And they're trying to grow those businesses to give you to provide you with that $25,000 a year job. And if they don't have the ability to do that, you won't have that. You might not have that $25,000 a year job. That's how the marketplace works. And that's something, and I'm sad to say this, I'm sorry to say this, but I've come to the realization that is something President Obama doesn't understand. I wish we could get that into his head. That would be an important thing for him to appreciate. Tintail, I'm Jim Blassingame. More to come after these messages. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I'm talking about some of the things I was wrong about. I was wrong about what I thought was a level of pragmatism that we were going to get out of President Obama. I want to move on and talk about a couple of other things, at least one other thing in the rest of this segment that President Obama brought up in his address to the Congress and to the nation. We talked about health care earlier in the week. The Employee Free Choice Act, he didn't mention that so in that speech, but that's something that's coming up, and I'll talk about that in a later time. I have talked about that in the past. That's the unionism thing, the so-called Employee Free Choice Act. It's not that at all. It's not free choice at all. In fact, it's a very anti-American piece of legislation, folks. It's anti-American. There's no way to sugarcoat these things, folks. That's just the way it is. But he did talk about something else that I want to get out on the table, and that's what he called it's his whole new energy program. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I agree that we need to make some adjustments. We need to make some changes to our energy policy. I'd love to have a greener country. I'd love to have a greener economy. I'd like very much for the petroleum bandwagon, the petroleum fix, so to speak, the petroleum addiction. I'd like very much if we could find alternative sources of energy. And as far as global warming, climate change, I definitely think we've got climate change. And you've heard me say this before. 10,000 years ago, there was 5,000 feet of ice on top of Ohio. So, yeah, we've got climate change. It's been going on for a long time. How much are Americans involved in that? Humans beings involved in that? How much are we contributing to that? I don't know. Maybe some, maybe a lot. I don't know, but I know this. It won't help any of us if we wreck our economy in order to try to accomplish this change in a very short period of time. And I'm talking about even, let me put it this way, at the pace that he's planning, that President Obama is planning. Now, when he talks about this energy policy, you've heard the term cap and trade. We've talked about it on the show before. They're talking about capping carbon emissions, CO2. They're talking about capping that for industries, for your car, for your home, for your businesses. Capping that, giving you the government. They're talking about the government regulating carbon, making it into a commodity that's regulated and traded. That's what they're talking about. And so I don't have a lot of time on this, but let me tell you what this is going to do. This will increase the cost of energy for you and your business. This will increase this. It will be the same effects on your business and on your life. It'll be no different from that. Remember when we had $4 a gallon gas? Nothing like that. Everybody talked about it. It was a tax on our business and on us. And we were so glad when gas came down below $2 a gallon. Well, you know, that was gasoline. That was just gasoline. If this cap and trade legislation is passed, if the government regulates and commoditizes carbon, it won't just be about gasoline. So that would, therefore, if you cut back on your travel, you won't pay as much. It will be every single part of your life. Electricity, the heating of your home, the cooling of your home, the driving of your automobile, the lights that you turn on, every part of your life will be affected by the regulation and the commoditization of carbon. And everything in your life that touch anything to do with carbon, that cost will go up. It will increase our cost. It will lower profits. And, okay, is this something that would be good for us to do long term? Yes. But the pace at which I think they're going to do this and the direction they're going to go by trying to increase the cost of carbon so you and I will be forced to use other methods. The way to do it, folks. You bring the innovations online. You let the marketplace deliver the innovations and let you and I choose those innovations over the things. And that's called, you know, that's a very constructive way to change the way we behave. Not by government fiat, and that's what he's planning right now. And so this is another thing that I was wrong about. I didn't think he would push that this year, but apparently he is. We'll see. Small business owners, we can no longer be passive about this. We have to be active in our voices. We have to be engaged in the debate, either ourselves directly or the organization that we support. We have to be part of this debate. Otherwise, we're going to be left with whatever they give us. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.